Hello?
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 If you can hear this, it's not too late. I return to warn you. This is Time Pop, a podcast that discusses time travel in pop culture. There are spoilers. I've seen the future, and nothing is sacred to these folks. Your past, present, and future are sure to be ruined. Even if you could go back in time, as I have, you will never forget what you are about to hear. You've been warned. This is Time Pop.
Well, on that note, welcome, Chrononauts, as we guide you through the experience of time travel using pop culture as our key lime pie. We will be your constants. I am Dez.
I'm Scott.
And this is
Time Pop. It's the simplest exercise, and it's so complicated for us. We're just trying to say the words at the same time. I feel like we're slowing down and traveling through time as we say it, so it's fitting.
We need to that needs to be like Zoom. You're doing a pretty good job, but until we can perfect this, we're going to be your field testers of your product.
Yes. Yes.
Speaking of field test, holy crap, we are going to field test our entire podcast today. Wow.
Is your brain feeling it? Like, so we do a lot of time travel films, and there's something we're like, oh, I found a portal or a talisman, and when I hold it, I can do whatever I want. And there's no science to talk about. There's no time travel to dig our teeth into. But today, oh my God, there's so much to unpack.
This is like, I've been like toying with like, we got to do Flash, but what Flash do we do? Like, we got to do Flash, but we got to do like 10 Flashes. This is going to calm down my flat. We do need to do Flash. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But this is going to satiate me for all the time travel for a minute.
Wow.
How did you experience Loki? Like, did you do any season one rewatches? Did you watch it one week at a time? Did you do two binges? How did we get here, Scott?
So we're doing Loki today, folks. So we're doing Loki as a whole, two seasons of this series as a whole. This series is a time traveler's wet dream.
And Scott is soaked.
And I'm soaked. And it's so much, it's not just like time travel. It is like the essence of time and space and who runs it and how do they control it. And oh my God, it's so much. It's like everything we'd want. I'm also, besides time travel nerd, I'm a comic book nerd. I watched the original Loki season one as soon as it came out, week by week. Season two, the same. I've been watching one episode a week. And then I actually just binged the last two or three in the past few days. But I haven't seen one in a while, but I remember it pretty well. But man, two is on the knob. It's a lot.
Because I remember, I watched season one.
Did you binge all of it just now?
I was a little bit behind on Loki season one. Like, it was one of those things where it's like, I know I'm going to watch this. Like, I'm not a fool, but I'll get to it. And then, of course, Scott and Ari are like, you know, quit jerking off and watch Loki. So Kelly and I got through Loki fairly quickly, but a little bit behind everybody. And then, so in season two, and I remember episode 2, 3, 4, 3, 4, 5, somewhere in there being real, they were fine, but there was a lot of story there. It was a lot of time travel. Like, I feel like season one had a dip in it. As far as time travel goes, it's a great show. I enjoyed it. So we've been talking about how we're going to do Loki for a while. Scott's like, we got to do Loki. I'm like, well, yeah, I know we got to do Loki, but do we want to do 12 hours of Loki in one podcast? Do we want to rewatch season one? Do we want to do 12 episodes of this and really chew on each episode? And as time went by, Loki was getting produced and released, and we just were like, all right, we're just fucking doing Loki. So I watched episode one, season one, episode one, season one, episode six, and all of season two in the last 3 days.
Yeah, wow. Okay, great. That's how I should have rewatched episode one and episode six of season one also, because, I mean, the final episode of season one is really the big deal.
Yeah.
Season one is like you're establishing, okay, there's a TVA, and it's this organization that exists outside of time and space, and they're controlling the timeline, and they kind of prune and branch alternate timelines.
They're controlling the sacred timeline.
The sacred timeline, right. And they're pruning and branching the alternate timelines essentially because it fucks with the overall everything. If there's too many timelines? Is that the, it's been a while.
Yeah, they don't really know. They just know that in order to preserve the sacred timeline, which they are led to believe is basically handed down by God himself, or the gods at this point, where there's three time gods. And so, like, to allow the sacred timeline to branch off would be to ruin the one true timeline. So it's okay to prune and branch and basically murder
universes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Billions of people, universes worth of people. But if we weren't to prune them, then
everybody would,
there would be none universes. So everyone's cool with it. And then Loki steps in. I still can't really figure out why they deem him so special, because obviously the TVA is dealing with some high level shit all the time.
Well, I mean, we can get to this now. I mean, we're originally led to believe that they picked him because he was a variant of Loki. Loki had died, but it was a variant from an earlier, which was super smart, from another Avengers film, from another timeline that escaped. And they're going to help him. He's going to help them to track down the other Lokis, right? That was the original. Because all these Lokis were causing.
Oh, that's right. Because Lokis have been getting off the pruned timelines.
Yeah.
And getting onto other timelines.
Yeah, yeah.
And then allowing themselves to try. Basically, variant. They call them variants. And I do, if everyone wants to know if I have a variant jacket, I do.
In case you wanted to know, he does. He got it very early on. Early adopter.
Check our social media. And it's a nice jacket. Like, it's a legit.
He doesn't even wear it season two, though. That's an ancient artifact now.
It was such a Well, you know what? I'm glad he didn't wear it instead of being introduced to a new variant jacket, because then I'd have to go buy another goddamn coat. Uh-huh. I'd have to buy my variant of variants coat. Sorry, I forgot. I don't know.
So you're talking about the gods that the TVA was working for. Season one, we could kind of like skip through the ins and outs and basically get to the fact that, like,
yeah,
all of what the TVA was working for was a lie. The whole head of the organization was kind of still run by He Who Remains, the guy at the end of time, who's otherwise known as Kang to us in comic book world. And he gets to the end and it's him and this female Loki that he's kind of fallen in love with. And she wants to kill him for taking away her life and universes and all these other universes. And this guy is chill as hell and kind of like, I know everything about time. And essentially, I've been keeping all these variants of me at bay and maintaining the timeline. If you do kill me, they're all going to come and it's going to be like a big universe battle and the universe is going to destroy itself.
Yes. Yeah. So I know we can't stick to it, but just to introduce a little bit of order into this chaos, I am going to. So feel free to go wherever your mind goes, but I might.
Yeah.
Bring us back to where we are. So Loki is DB Cooper, just to let you know how all over the worlds he is. We find out that Loki, one of Loki's variants disappearing, is DB Cooper. A very cool like TVA like trick or weapon. I don't know. They basically have like this time reversal stick, and like Loki keeps getting up to fuck with Mobius, who is Owen Wilson. And Mobius just hits this button and just rewinds Loki back to his chair. And it's just kind of a cool, like, of all the, you know, they introduce so many time travel things in this, just to have an instantaneous, like, sit down. It's great.
And Loki at that point, still like, he's like, I should rule. I should have a kingdom. I want to sit on a throne.
There is an animated clock that everyone sees as an animated clock. Like it's
like an AI. Pretty much.
Yeah. It's part of this universe. And she seems to be the one who's really in charge. Like, no one really knows. I don't know if she's in charge, but she definitely, because she's a giant computer since the beginning of time. She fucking knows everything.
Right.
They have these like temp pads. The people at the TVA, the hunters, have these temp pads that allow them to basically. Well, it's weird because the temp pads kind of transport you, but then also open doors too. Is that, or does the temp pad?
They can open doors. You can go within like space and time.
Yeah, you definitely travel within space and time in this show.
Yeah, it opens doors.
So yeah, so like Scott says, so yeah, season one is them just trying to figure out what the fuck is going on. They get to the end of time and they find He Who Remains. So it's our Loki, Sylvie, girl Loki, Ms. Minutes, the animated clock, and He Who Remains, aka Kang, aka
Conqueror of Worlds.
Conqueror of Worlds, yeah. Yeah.
And Loki throughout the season, at first he's just trying to escape. He's still the bad guy. He wants to rule. Later on, he kind of befriends Mobius. He's kind of trying to help them. He's actually trying to save the timeline. He kind of gets what's going down.
So let's not forget, this entire series happens within two frames of a Marvel movie, right?
I mean, this all takes place outside of time and space.
I know, but when you're watching...
So it's funny, my daughter was like, when is this taking place in relation to like the Marvels film? And I was like, it's outside of time and space. I don't think saying when this takes place makes much sense.
But we see him disappear from an Avengers movie at the beginning of episode... The first thing we see, episode one, is the end of...
It's not Endgames. It's
not Endgame.
The final one.
No.
Yeah. It's what's it called?
Infinite.
Oh, no, it is Endgames. Yeah.
No, it's not Endgames.
It's Endgame when they go back in time.
Oh!
And they try to stop all the stuff. That's where they fuck up. And right. Loki gets the Tesseract and escapes.
So right after in the sacred timeline, I guess, when Hulk smashes Loki to bits and then they take him down the elevator and then they're in the lobby. Because if you watch that original Avengers movie, he doesn't disappear, does he? Or does it?
I know. No, this is they messed up. They went back. It's an alternate timeline. That's why he's a variant.
But either way, like that's still. Oh, that's right.
The original Loki died. This one is like they went back in time. They fucked things up. And in this timeline, Loki escaped. In the other one, he died. So like he's a guy that shouldn't exist, which is why they took him.
But anyway, but in that movie, he doesn't disappear, right?
He does disappear.
Oh, he does.
Yeah.
Oh.
He gets, they go back in time. You remember they all go on the missions and like to try to get the different Tesseracts or whatever. And like they failed. The one where they went back where Captain America fought himself, they failed. And in that, like it rolls out and Loki gets it and like disappears. They had him prisoner.
And he does stay disappeared from the movie.
Yep. He's not back.
Oh, okay.
It's really smart of them. Really smart of them to use that because Loki had died.
Because I kept waiting for the end of season two to end with him back in the lobby. I forget that he stays gone.
No, yeah.
Oh.
Loki, original timeline Loki is dead. This is a variant. That's their theory, right? These are the variants that don't belong. That's why they steal them and put them in the TVA.
Right. One man's variant is another man's podcast co-host. Okay.
So so they're at the end of time. And then, Kang pretty much gives them two choices. He's like, look, there's all these variants of me. And I'm keeping them at bay and I can made this TVA and it's all based on a lie and I'm pruning these universes. But otherwise, there'll be a multiverse war and you either let me do my thing or you kill me and they're all going to come together.
You think I'm bad. Wait till you meet my variants.
But this female Loki is blind with rage and she ends up killing him. And at the end, like the time loom kind of gets all fucked up. And then Loki sees like a future where Kang's face is there and he thinks... A whole different universe where Kang's taken over. Nobody knows who he is.
Yeah. So now instead of so Loki starts slipping immediately, right?
Right now we're getting into season two.
Yeah.
And Loki is time slipping. He's just uncontrollably moving throughout different times.
He is Slaughterhouse Fiving all over this movie.
Yep. Slaughterhouse Five all over it.
See now maybe Slaughterhouse Five is time travel. We're back in it. We're back in it, Scott. It's not PTSD. it's just Loki.
I will say season two, I can say Ari had been watching it with me and it's slow and she keeps falling asleep during every episode. She's almost fallen asleep during because it's a lot of tech jargon. It's a lot of mumbo gumbo. It's a lot of just like Loki trying to like figure out what's going on. Not as much direct action, right?
I don't know because I felt that way about season one.
Yeah.
Like I wanted to take a nap through episodes 3, 4 and most of 5.
I mean, he's jumping through these universes. He's kind of falling for this other female Loki. They're getting together. They're trying to escape being eradicated. I don't know. I thought it was, but whatever. I still love it. It's so thick and the style is so cool. It's such a retro futurism, right?
Yeah.
Everything looks super 60s, 70s because this thing exists out of time. It's great.
Yeah. It was created. Yeah. Who knows how many and we find out too. Oh no, we're not there yet.
Let's get there.
Yeah. Yeah. And we're kind of there, but because of the way time works in this, we're not.
So I think it's important to introduce Obi into the picture, right? Who comes in season two.
Yes.
Obi has created the TVA manual. However, we find out that he had given the manual back in time to a young
He didn't. Ms. Minutes and
Right, Ms. Minutes did.
And Renslayer.
Right.
Gave Kang, aka Victor Timely, aka
But then
He Who Remains.
Because of that is what helps Obi to write it in the future to give back. So that's one of those paradoxes, right? That's the
Which what is Obi's real name?
What?
What's Obi's real name?
Oh, I don't remember. What is it?
Ouroboros.
Yes.
So that's this book is an Ouroboros because Obi gives it to Victor Timely, who adds to it, who Victor Timely then creates the TVA, which allows Obi to write it. And it this book ends up eating itself.
Yeah, it's the snake eating its own tail.
And it's like, it's very cool too, because at one point during the time slipping, Loki is going back in time and meeting Obi and telling him what he needs in the future. And then he slips back into the future where Obi says, I don't know what you're, oh wait, I do know what you're talking about. Because it's butterfly affecting in real time Obi's memory of what Loki told him he would need in the future. And just fast, again, another kind of Ouroboros situation. And Obi, for everyone who doesn't know, is we just covered him. If you want to check out our Patreon page at patreon.com/timepop, everything, everywhere, all at once. And I, of course, can't remember his name because I'm a terrible...
Hey you, Quan.
Yeah. So yeah, he's we're
so this is a consistent causal.
Oh, another two-timer.
Yeah, he's a two-timer. Well, alternate.
So well, no. Yeah, he's an alternate two-timer.
No.
He's a 1.5.
This is a consistent causal loop.
Yes.
That is what this is.
Yes.
Consistent causal loop. He gave it the guy. It always has happened this way. It's happened, always happened. It's the only way. This book was never made by anybody, but it was this book was written by OB, but put back in time and actually kind of create all the concepts that'll make it was because Victor Timely did it, which helped OB to make it, but it's because OB made it. So it just always existed. And this is time being a loop, and that's the only way. It is a paradox. And I love it.
A beautiful, beautiful paradox.
It is.
So the time loom. So again, another, our worlds clashing. The time loom made me really happy because for those who don't know, I do another podcast called The Wheel of Time.
Oh.
And the Wheel of Time is a looming wheel that weaves our time together. And it doesn't, as far as I know, there's no alternate universes. Like there is only one sacred timeline that this loom is weaving. But it weaves in what it needs and it goes nuts. But it was very exciting to me to see my worlds collide of the weaving, the time weaver coming together. So they find out that the time loom is going to explode because there's too many timelines branching off and it can't hold them. And so they're going... back there, everyone's going all over the place. You know, Renslayer is trying to get in touch with Victor Timely because she wants to be the next one in charge. Sylvie is running around. Sylvie just wants to live. She thinks that she killed He Who Remains for good, and now she can just live her life, however she sees fit with, you know, with her own, what do you call it?
Working at McDonald's.
Why can't I think of the word? Free will. She thinks that like now she's got free will. So she's just living her life. Kang is just hanging out because he knows his death is going to lead to chaos. So he's just like, he knows that all of the universe is just a giant Ouroboros. So he's super cool. And then Loki is trying to save any timeline.
Yeah, I mean, it starts, he's a little confused. He's jumping through all these timelines and he can't control it. And then he's trying to find his friends who are in their original timelines and no one remembers him. And he's trying to like assemble this team to fix the loom. So he's like become this guy who like hated the TVA and now has been this like reluctant. These are his friends and he cares about the timeline. And now he's like this reluctant anti-hero.
So there's a people give off an aura, and by the aura, they
temporal aura. Yeah.
Temporal aura, you can figure out if they're the original one or not. And so they realize that like, well, then that being said, there would be a group aura too, which so that's why he's trying to get everybody together, hoping that like their group aura will really like, you know, make the, for lack of a better term, sacred timeline. Just be like, oh yeah, these are, we need to weave these people and all of their universes back together. And so then I think I don't want to jump ahead too far here.
I mean, a lot happens, but it's the last episode that we really need to chew on for the next 30 minutes. I mean, everything's failing, right? He keeps doing, and they steal Victor Timely, and there's this race against Renslayer, against them to get Victor Timely, who's going to be the future. He's a young Kang, He Who Remains, because he's the only one that can help them with the loom, I guess, because it recognizes him. They have to do this whole thing where they have to make an invention. and they've got to go out there to shoot into the loom to like, without getting into the jargon, to save all these universes from being destroyed and to save the sacred timeline. Everything is about to be destroyed.
Yeah, they're trying to get everything back together and the loom can't handle it because there's too many branched timelines. So they need to figure out how to allow the loom to handle more information for,
yeah,
again, to simplify it. And they go back to, for all of you who've been watching all of these Marvel movies and, you know, maybe haven't gotten to this or maybe, you know, have better things to remember than this crap. We meet Victor Timely in the Stinger episode of Quantumania. So Owen and Loki are, if you saw that Stinger, they're in the old times. And the person that we know as Kang the Conqueror is up there. And we also know from that Stinger that this story is not, I mean, Loki might be done, but Kang is not over because that Stinger really ends in an auditorium full of Kangs. So they're coming back and they want some shit. So they do a really cool Loki, you know, does the, I love how they, again, we're so deep in time travel lore as just a genre that it allows us to skip over a big piece of this montage because we all get it because we've all been watching time travel movies. But Loki at some point spends centuries.
Yeah, so we're getting there now.
Centuries.
So it keeps not working. This keeps not working. And whenever they put Victor Timely to fix it, they turn into spaghetti, right? They get obliterated. The timeline's getting obliterated. The radiation.
Well, and the problem is that everyone only has 30 minutes to get their shit together.
Yeah.
And so Loki's like, I guess I need to know everything because I can't convince these fuckers.
Yeah, he keeps trying to do everything faster and he's got to wants to help the situation. And he asks Obi, how can I learn as much about physics as you? How long would it take? And he says centuries. And so then they say centuries later. So now Loki has gone from like, you know, yeah, villain to like antihero and working with them to like the only solution the universe had. And he spends centuries learning everything he can to be like one of the top foremost knowledgeable human about time travel and physics. And I love, yeah, that's a sacrifice. Centuries later. So he's gone through this. He's, and by the way, we kind of skipped over that he learned how to master his time slipping.
And while he's learning, when he masters his time slipping, before we get to him realizing he's got to fix everything, this is after he spends another possible centuries trying to stop Sylvie from killing Kang without killing Sylvie.
Yeah, just to get her to not kill him. That's the first, and it never works.
It never works, and at some point, Kang stops time, and he's just like, you're going to keep doing this? Because Kang knows everything, so he knows that Loki's been doing this for God knows how many times. He's just like, you want to keep this up, or you want to talk? And of course, Loki's like, go fuck yourself. And then they do it another couple thousand times, and then Loki stops it. It stops time himself.
Right. Then we learn how, because Kang is like showing off that you can like pause time. He's like, you haven't figured this all out yet. Later on, Loki's like, what makes you think I had? And he pauses time. So now we know that he is now a conscious time traveler that can jump around through time with control. He can pause time and he knows more about time, space, physics. He has become, he's really risen up in this situation.
He is now the TVA handbook in human, well,
yeah,
not human, in living form.
He gets the advice from Kang, which is pretty much the same as it always was. You either let me die and then there's, you know, the chaos in the universe, or, you know, I stay, but we're only going to prune down to one universe and all these, you know, but then we don't have war, multiverse war. Then he talks to a past version of Mobius about advice about how you decide who dies. And Mobius essentially made like, it's a burden. You just got to do what's right, as hard as it is for the sacred timeline. And it's really hard. And then he talks to Sylvie, who's kind of like, what right do you have to decide who lives or dies? Let people choose to die fighting for what they believe in with free will, right? And he gets like an amalgam of all this like advice before he figures out what he has to do.
And sorry, I'm just looking at my notes real quick. I just can't believe I wrote this down. So the time loom inverts the temporal decay of the electricity flowing through it, lowering its entropy, gathering its threads into power, and weaving into elegant ropes of voltage. The chaos of particles into order. So chew on that, everybody.
Yeah, that's a whole episode into itself.
So Loki finally, yeah, why does he decide that he's the one that has? Is it love? It's love.
It's Sylvie. Sylvie.
It's love.
No, she really, he got all that advice and he was back and forth. And Sylvie really influenced him with like, I'd rather have the choice and die fighting. You know, you're just replacing one evil with another. Like, let us fight and have that choice and free will. And he decides in that moment what he could do. And he decides, he comes back to the future. Instead of having Victor Timely, he walks down that bridge.
Yeah.
And then as he's walking, the radiation, I guess, doesn't affect him because he's just been throughout all time now. And he's just like this, and he's a god.
Why can't he god his way down the, why does he have to walk one step at a time down that gangplank?
It's still crazy, like space time radiation, you know, but he doesn't have even a suit and he's fine. And he ends up getting into like his old like god gear.
Yeah, yeah.
And he destroys the loom with his magic. He destroys the loom overall. Then he kind of takes the threads, right? He gathers them. He goes through a rift to the end of space and time.
Yeah.
He infuses them with his energy. He wraps them around him into a cloak and he takes on the chair as kind of a new version of the He Who Remains. And then he forms, which I guess is important for all the people in the comics who know the Nordic legends. That tree is the, I read up on this a lot.
That looked like, I loved that. It looked like the Oakland tree. It looked like the Oaklandish.
Here, there's a name for it that I can't, in Greek mythology, if that's the place between like life and death where the tree is.
Oh.
Here, I just want to find it right now. It's very hard to pronounce. It looks like a word that somebody vomited out.
Scott, it's pronounced Oaklandish.
Yeah, it's Oakland. You can buy the t-shirts at this website.
So is Loki, is this the rest of his existence?
Yes. He's made the ultimate sacrifice. He will be alone. He's not going to be with his friends so that the universe has a chance. And now he is, you know, he who sees all. In the comic books, he becomes from the god of mischief to the god of stories. And that's what they're saying he is in this. They don't say it, but that's a thing that happens in the comic books. But that's what happens here.
So there is still branched timelines. He's just able to. And
he's kind of watching over. Here it is. Okay. So Yggdrasil, the world's tree.
Huh.
That's like the symbol that he uses, which is like in between. It kind of rules all the worlds in the Norse mythology, like Midgard and Asgard and all that stuff. He is kind of like big dog looking over everything, right? He's giving a hope. He's like a better option. There's still, the variants are still out there.
Yeah.
Like the Kang variants are still out there. But now Loki has kind of, he said he was going to change the equation and he kind of did. I mean, my only loophole with this is like, why would Kang have not seen this as an option? Because he sees everything, but you know, we'll get into that.
Well, I think that's going to come out because, like I said, we know that there are thousands of Kangs out there ready to try to conquer the universes. So I don't know if the comic books go beyond Loki being the loom of life of timelines.
They're using some of the stuff from it. It's not exact, but what Loki did evolve to.
So Loki could have to come out of his chair to battle the
I don't know. He's there like now keeping everything in line. He sees all and he knows all. That's why.
But Kang's going to fuck it all up. 1,000 Kangs are going to.
So now, here's what. And the Kang in his timeline, now that when Loki kind of takes over, you see a young Victor Timely and he does not get the book. So we don't know what he's going to become. This timeline's Kang may never be anything. It's just the variants. But the other thing is weird to me is Kang. When he has that conversation with Kang that we were just talking about, Kang kind of lets him know that like all of this is kind of his doing. Like the fact that Loki can time slip and that he's learning to control it, Kang's like, I started that, friend. I kind of paved the way. He almost controlled it all to get to this moment. They even talk about when Loki was first pulled into the TVA that it was Renslayer who said to do that. Renslayer said, we should take him out. And now you're thinking Renslayer was taking orders from Kang. Created all this. Kang created Loki having these powers. Like these were everything that he wanted to happen. Like when they have the conversation, he designed all of that.
So Kang, but does he even have control of Asgard or does he only have control of these gods when they step out of Asgard?
I think it's not control per se. He's watching the timeline, but
he can,
it's a pretty powerful guy. Yeah. It's arguable.
He can sow some seeds.
Right.
Yeah.
But so if he foresaw all of that and wanted Loki to kind of become that. How did he not foresee that was a possibility?
Yeah. What was the,
The only other thing, I read an article where they were like, you know, he talked about reincarnation. Kang said, you kill me, reincarnation. It's like, is he being reincarnated in Loki? But Loki seems to have much better intentions.
So what's Kang's perfect plan? How does this end Kang's way?
Right? Like, it seemed like he liked where things were of him controlling time. He's the one who remains. He's destroying the other variants. But in his version, he's keeping the peace. I mean, even like Thanos thought he was keeping peace in his mind, right?
Yeah.
So he's got intentions that are good theoretically, even though he's destroying all these other universes.
But yeah, Kang has a little more evil plots because it's not... Because, yeah, in a way... what's his name that you just mentioned? Not Kang, but...
Thanos.
Like, in theory, he wanted everyone to live... Well, not everyone, obviously. Half of everyone to live a good life. Like, that was his point. Like, there's just too much of everything. If we cut this in half, then the people that remain are super happy and they can all drive Hummers because there's, you know, we're not overcrowded. But Kang is like, I need to kill these... I'm doing this to kill these specific motherfuckers because they might take over my throne.
Right.
Which now we realize, you know, I mean, based on what we've learned from Loki, there were other Thanoses out there. And
yeah,
who knows? You know, if every Thanos halves the population, you get down to a pretty low number. half is not very much.
But these raises weird questions of like, how much did Kang plan of this? Or now that Loki has reached this role, had that happened before? And did Loki form the TVA? And did Loki embed himself with the powers and cause this to happen? I mean, it's not what it seems like. It seems they just changed it. But again, we're talking about time and loops here, and it's really hard to know. Was the sacred timeline that this would always happen? You know, it seems like they're saying no, but...
I think this is Kang's master plan, because if they're still working on the long con, which Marvel is very good at the long con, then...
Right.
This may now free up the remaining Kangs.
Right.
Or allow them. This is how those Kangs get together in that scene that we see at the end of Quantumania.
Right.
Like, without
totally.
Loki sitting down and holding the branches together, they may not be able to come.
There's a future film that's supposed to happen called Avengers Kang Dynasty. And so that's supposed to be the big crossover. But the way that, you know, they've had issues with the actor.
Yeah.
So, like, the way that they did this, Marvel's got some choices now. You can just end that Kang story. You can just leave it at this if they're, like, not wanting to have him. Or you can have the variants pop up and you can still do a great crossover series with, you know, Loki at the helm there.
Yeah.
But, yeah, did Kang choose Loki to be his replacement so he doesn't have to be sitting at the end? Did he want that to happen? Or is the reincarnation... him in, I don't know. You know, they show the energies, like Kang had a purple energy and you see these vines of a green Loki energy.
Yeah.
But I do have to say, out of a lot of the Marvel stuff that happened, I thought Endgames was really perfect. The way they tied in all the Marvel films up till then, the ending was all really satisfying. Most things that epic don't have a satisfying ending, aka Lost or Star Wars or anything else like that.
Yeah.
But the Loki storyline has such a terrific ending. It's so perfect. He goes so full circle from villain to anti-hero to the greatest hero the universe has ever had. He makes the ultimate sacrifice and, you know, he gets his throne. It's not the one he wanted. He gets the power. He rules like he always wanted, but not in the way he wanted, all by himself, but saves the universe as the ultimate hero. It comes so full circle. It's a beautiful story. What an incredible ending. Sad, but good.
And it's because Loki learned to love.
Oh,
it's always love.
But now you've watched this series more recently, and like the trajectory he did from episode one till two, I mean, that's the hugest change in comic book history, the biggest growth
in TV history, like
what his character went through, from like he was gonna take down fucking Earth just to like fuck with Thor,
yeah,
and because he just wanted a throne, to like falling in love, to befriending these people, to like busting his ass alone throughout time to save the universe, to making the ultimate sacrifice.
All right, Scott, this podcast exists to ask the tough questions. All right.
Yeah.
We're here to ask the tough questions. Loki and Sylvie have a baby. What entity, what universal variant is born from that match.
Jeez. She's from another timeline. Yeah, she's another Logan. Two of the same people from different timelines, both variants that shouldn't exist. Oh my God.
Do they, is
it's so egocentric.
Is it the, like, is it Jesus or is it the devil?
I think it's like the weirdest creature you could think of. It's got so many limbs and eyes.
You know what it is?
It's just a, I think its name is Paradox.
Oh, well, obviously. You know when Loki is time slipping and yeah, and his body freaks out? That's what this baby looks like all the time.
Yeah. Time freak.
I love it when Mobius is just like, I can't look at it. What does it look like? I thought you said it looked fine. I lied.
Yeah.
I lied. It looks very painful.
Looks very. Oh, it's such a cool story. For being a slow season, such a good ending. But really, both seasons, it's like the whole season is kind of full of shit, right? Like the whole first season, everything it's about is all about the TVA and the rules.
Yeah.
And escaping. And you find at the end, it's all a fucking lie. It's all a big fat lie. And then in this season, the loom and trying to fix the loom. And then like, no, it was always a failsafe. You never could have fixed it. And it's like, man, these seasons are just a, yeah, just a snake trying to eat its own tail.
Yeah. Well, because it all comes down to, you know, which, you know, we know it doesn't exist, but all these movies always try to reinsure the population of humans that we do actually have free will. And
yeah,
and we don't.
The illusion.
We don't.
Everything had not been free will. You know, that's what we're finding out. So now in this new Loki ruled timeline, they show the TVA and it's like got some changes to it, right? They have a more, instead of just a few judge rulers, it's like a much more democratic, diplomatic room of lots of people discussing stuff. And their new goal is not pruning, but it's kind of trying to find all those Kang variants.
Yeah. And so far, they said they have their eye on all of them. And they said one of them did something weird, but not.
Oh, yeah. No, they mentioned 616 adjacent, which is the Ant-Man situation is what they're referring to.
Oh, is that 616?
616 is our world, is like the sacred timeline. It's, that's the main Marvel universe. And they said adjacent. So that was when Kang got destroyed by ants.
Okay. Thank you, Scott. Thank you for that.
Yeah. So it's funny. It's a nice little nod. I mean, Marvel, come on, this phase, you got to start tying shit together now, guys.
Liam makes a really good point that 616 was the universe in the comics.
Yeah.
They obviously are not taking directly from the comics for these. They're taking a lot of information for these movies and shows, but it's obviously not a direct page to page.
Right.
Why wouldn't you call this universe something different? Since it's obviously not the identical universe. Like, that is such an easy fix to be like, no, the comic books are 616. The Marvel universe we've created on screen is 618 or something. Like, I don't know. When Liam mentions that, I'm always like, yeah, that's... Because I guess it's 6 1/2 dozen in the other. Because if you call it 618, a million comic book nerds go, it's not 618, it's 616, idiots. You didn't even read the comic books. But then if you do 616, you get another million people going, hey, you fucking idiots, and 616, Loki didn't do that. And so it's the, you know, you can't, you're going to lose either. Half of the nerds are going to fucking hate you either way. So, you know, whatever.
I was reading up on that. They didn't want to call it, like, DC calls it Earth 1 and Earth 2, and they didn't want to copy them. So they took the number 666, Thorpe, I guess, and took 50 off of it. Because it's the number of the beast, because in like superheroes, I'm just reading up on this as we speak. It's interesting.
So they overthought it, is what you're saying.
David Thorpe, yeah. It's become a Marvel institution from its 1983 Captain Britain story.
Huh.
Wow. See, we're learning so much today.
It's so great.
And how it came to be, right? 666, and he took 50 off, but why 50? Adorable. Anyway, it's funny how there's so much in Loki that we have to just like do cliff notes. Like, we're not going into any of the stuff of like the guy that kind of tries to go back, like the after Loki won, like they realize the TVA is a lie, and like no one knows what to do or who's leading. And then there's like those that are trying to take over, and there's Renslayer and that whole subplot. We're just kind of skipping over that. They're just like not even integral.
Alcatraz, like
yeah,
the three men that escape from Alcatraz.
Oh, the original timelines. Yeah, yeah.
Are just thrown in on the on this. Were those the original? No, those were all branched, right?
Those were, that's probably the original timeline where these, the variants of these folks came from. They stole the variants to work for the TVA, and that's their original timelines, I guess.
Oh.
Right, the one guy who was kind of the bad guy was the originally an actor. And then they show, right, one was escaping from Alcatraz. What's her name was a pediatrician. We learned a little bit about Mobius, who's never tried to see his life. And he
Mobius kids are fucking monsters. Holy crap, he's racing.
And he's a cheeseball jet ski seller.
Oh.
In the middle of Ohio? Is that where it was? It's like not near water, right? It's got
Cleveland. Cleveland.
Cleveland, yeah.
Yeah, there's lakes.
Yeah, there's some lakes there. All right. If it's Cleveland, sure.
You got to check out the Nate Bargatze Saturday Night Live. It's fucking great. Nate Bargatze is hilarious, and he gives a great SNL. But one of the things they have in there is they have a song called Lake Beach. it's basically all about, you know, the people in Cleveland who can't get to the ocean, but they still want to go to the beach. So they sing a song about the lake beach, and it's great. Everyone out there, check it out. Lake Beach.
There it is.
I told myself when I started, like, don't get carried away on notes. This is too much information. You'll never even finish it if you take notes. And I took, like, I barely touched my notes, and I'm just looking at what I have here, and it's fucking crazy how much I wrote down. Okay, so I'm watching, so I have the last episode playing.
Yeah.
So, they show Victor Timely not getting the book, but they still kind of cut away from it, like...
Yeah.
You know, there's still plenty of time to get this kid the book.
Other things can happen, yeah.
But now Renslayer, she's an ancient...
Oh, yeah, so she's...
Egypt.
Well, she's in the void.
Oh, no, she's in the future.
She's in the void when they got... what is it, Amarith? Remember that was destroying that world that Loki and Sylvie escaped?
But you realize that she's at the TVA, right? There's a seal there, the ancient...
So did you rewatch season one when Mobius, they almost get destroyed by Amarith? That's what they're suggesting. We don't know if she gets destroyed or if she escapes it or if that glowing purple is like Kang. And right, you're right. It looks like she's by the TVA, like in a future.
Yeah.
There's a lot suggested there. We don't know.
Yeah. It's just, this might be more of just like somehow this.
They're suggesting, right, that she's in this like either end of time again and she's about to be destroyed by Amarith or Kang is helping her out or...
Oh, yeah, the purple light.
Yeah. Apparently she has a... Her character actually is like a villain in the comic books. I forgot the name. It's like...
Renslayer.
It's a very over the... No, it's not Renslayer. It's like Dominatrix Destroyer. Like it's some kind of, it's like two just destruction words into one. So she might be becoming that. And she might be working with Kang. Or she's being destroyed. We don't know.
Yeah, she definitely is like... Kang comes and gets her. So I feel like this is setting up some form of... Like, this is... I feel like they're suggesting, like, if you're paying attention, you can take it this way. And if you're not, like, it's one of those things where it's like the people who need the happy ending can pretend like all of these people just they move forward with free will and it's all great. And then all of us nerds who read way too much into it are like, well, this is all just one big loop because Kang's going to go grab Renslayer, take her back in time, and we're just going to do this all over again.
Right. So, I mean, well, yeah. It's hard to know how much is loop and how much isn't. We know Loki's now given them a chance, but now the Kang wars are going to happen probably. But like we said, now Marvel set themselves up where like if they want to skip that, they could.
Yeah.
This is a complete story if they wanted it to be, or it could totally go on to like Kang versus Loki and Kang versus the universe.
Well, and the cat's out of the bag. Like they can just go back in time anytime they want. Like I'm assuming they can go back to a pre-Loki universe and fuck all this up. I would assume that with Loki at the helm now, that doesn't like negate their ability to go back to the Loom days.
Yeah, unless he can control it. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, Loki, now that he's at the time, he still has chosen those people to be variants to still run the TVA. He's still letting that happen. So it's interesting. But yes, he's a more benevolent Time Lord.
Scott, what question do I even ask?
Oh my God. I guess you could ask if like, would you sacrifice yourself to be alone watching all time so that the universe could exist? And I mean, you know, unless we're a dick, most of us is yes. Because even though it's a huge sacrifice, if you don't do that, everything ends anyway, right? So
I'm a god.
Or what choice would you have made? Or you could have just let you know, Kang was doing his thing. And like, although he was destroying timelines, things were going okay.
Yeah. I mean, it's better than nothing, which like they took a big fucking risk.
Right. They may.
For there to be nothing.
Now they may be facing multiverse war.
Yeah.
I mean, they will be.
And Loki. And it's just like, I mean, I guess no one asked Loki to do it. So, you know, it's no one's fault if he just decides one day that he's just done. So now, since I'm a god, I can, you know, I hopefully like, can I create some kind of a movie theater to sit in? Like, can I watch the police academies anytime I want?
That's what everyone's thinking.
I mean, if I'm sitting alone on the throne and I just have to hold onto these ropes for dear life.
Can you just rent movies and watch them? You would think you could.
Or like dip in your brain wave.
I mean, you're watching all of time. So that's kind of your movie, I think. You're watching everything.
That's what I was going to ask. Can he see everything that's going on? Or is he just holding onto these ropes, trying not to get spaghettied himself?
I think it kind of takes a little bit of effort to like control the time. I don't think he can leave to go to the bathroom. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Yeah.
I get the feeling like you got to stay there. You got to put your energy. You got to observe this. You don't, you know, for eternity. So no big deal. So the guardian, they said Renslayer, they think, is facing the trans-temporal purple entity known as Alioth. It's not clear whether it's the end of the line for the judge. But the shot of the pyramid and the Sphinx could be suggesting a connection between her and that Kang variant who appeared at the end of Quantumania, known as Rama Tut, the Pharaoh. That's another possibility. Remember the Kang variant that looks like a Tut?
Yes.
Yeah.
And they've done a good job of setting it up. Like you said, if the actor who plays Kang, if they decide it's not worth the trouble, if Renslayer just kind of took his place, like, again, we're dealing with time travel and crazy shit, so they could, within a 10-minute montage, we could believe that all of Renslayer's variants are now gathered to destroy all the timelines instead of the Kangs, you know.
Yeah,
that's a woo!
So yeah, I think the question is, either would you make that sacrifice, or what choice would you have made?
I mean, I guess, I mean, like you said, you have to do it, like,
right,
whether I hold on to those timelines for eternity is, you know, is another choice. But for the time being, I go out there and hold what little bit of the universe we have left together.
Yeah.
And hope that there's other options. Is Loki done?
Tom Hiddleston has said this concludes a 14-year career. And also, like, for the character, it's like a perfect storyline.
Yeah.
So for their most intentions, it's done. However, if Marvel wants to do Kang Dynasty and he needs to play a role, I'm sure they could throw some money at him and he'll do it again.
But like, we're not looking at a season three.
I don't think so. They've said right now they have no expectation of season three.
Okay.
It would be tragic if they did. Like, that's kind of, if we see him again, I think it will be in a universe crossover.
You know what I wouldn't mind doing? Just like a sitcom of the TVA. I would totally watch a TVA sitcom.
Time hijinks.
Just people just getting pie and holding our entire existence together.
Wah, wah.
Laugh track and all. I want a fucking circa 90.
What's the tagline? Guess it's not time for that.
Totally.
Uh-oh, I ran out of time.
What's the TVA stand for? I'll think about it while I'm signing off.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening. Do you have to like be on your next thing at 10?
Yeah. I mean, I could do 10:02.
Okay. Thank you for listening to Time Pop, the time travel movie podcast. We hope you have enjoyed this journey through time. Please like, subscribe, and tell a friend about Time Pop. And please check out our Patreon at patreon.com/timepop. We have and will continue to produce great time travel content for free. If you could help us with some production costs, we would be greatly appreciative. We are asking for $3 a month, and to show our appreciation, you will receive an exclusive podcast every month. We are going to keep the time travel to this feed, the Time Pop Alpha feed. So for Patreon, what we're going to do is do alternate timelines, time travel-ish movies. We've done Into the Spider-Verse. We've done Everything Everywhere All at Once. We're going to do Idiocracy because that's kind of time travel, you know, being frozen for 1,000 years or whatever. We're going to have some fun with that. And if you sign up for our Patreon, you can pick one of the movies that we watch in the near future. If you like the show and would like to continue to support us for free, We just ask again that you like, subscribe, and tell a friend about Time Pop. Check out our social medias. I've boosted up our social media. I had Time Pop kind of crammed in on my network feed, and I've decided to just make some Time Pop Prime feeds out there. So Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, and Facebook, we are at time_pop_pod. That is at Time Pop Pod. Check that out. I'm trying to have some fun just posting some stuff, reminding people that we're there, reminding you of some of the movies. I think not everybody is going back in our catalog. I keep assuming that if you like our show, that you're probably going to dip into our past catalog. But a lot of people just kind of put us on our feed and they're listening to this show and all the shows that follow it. So I like to remind people of the 100+ shows that we've already done, the movies that we've done, the fun that we've had. And you should check those out as well. And so part of my social media feed will be reminding you of those as well, along with all the new stuff that's coming out. And if you like podcasts, which I think you do, definitely check out K63. Go listen to K63. Come back, listen to our podcast about K63. And then send us emails about where we're wrong at timepoppod@gmail.com. That is timepoppod@gmail.com. Send all your questions, comments, and movie and television show recommendations there.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening. Do you have to like be on your next thing at 10?
Yeah. I mean, I could do 10:02.
Okay. Well, if you want to just say, we'll just say our byes and then I can do all of my spiel afterwards. Until next time, I'm Desmond McNeese.
And I'm Scott Lifton. See you in the future pasts. In the causal loop.
Hey, everybody. We are all that remains.
Oh.
That's what it is. TVA, we're the remainder.
It's like we think we have free will while people are controlling the time universe and the parallel universes all around us. We're just pawns. We're just like sitcoms. We're just watching leaves blow in the wind.
TVA, I hope you like eating snake ass. 6 baby. Let's talk about you and me. Let's talk about all the good things I do to Scott when he's wearing that hat. Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.
All right, let me press stop.